everybody. If we can start the recording. I am Leanne Barris, and I'm the Executive Director of Earth Ministry. And I want to also introduce Jesse Dye, who is our Program Outreach Director. And thank you all for coming to Advocacy for All Creation. Hopefully, by the time you leave the session, you will feel empowered and inspired to take action, to put your faith into action by speaking up and advocating for justice, either at the local, state, or national level. To start off, though, I wanted to just kind of put our advocacy work into context. Earth Ministry does a wide variety of work, and I know many of you in this room are familiar with the organization and what we do, but for those of you who are not, I just wanted to give you a brief snapshot of what I like to call the three-legged stool. We really believe that people of faith come to environmental stewardship from many different perspectives and in many different ways. But by and large, they tend to fit in one of three different categories. And of course, they all overlap, and many people come to it from multiple pathways. But the first leg of the stool is really an individual understanding of what our faith calls us to do and what choices we make in response to that faith about caring for all creation. For example, as a Christian, I might say, I care about the earth, so therefore I'm going to eat local food, or drive my car less, or put in compact fluorescent light bulbs. All the things that I can do in my own life to care for creation and live more sustainably on the earth. So individual is the first leg of the stool. But once we take those actions in our daily lives, we often hunger to connect with other people who share the same values. And so the second leg of the stool is working in community with other people who share those same values. And of course, for most of us, that community can be a community of faith. And so Earth Ministry has a whole suite of programs geared towards working with congregations and faith communities to help groups of people in a community live out those values. Our Greening Congregation program is one example of that, and some of you came to that class earlier this week, where we work with churches to help them become more sustainable and honor creation through worship and education, facilities and institutional life, community outreach, and ecumenical, denominational, and interfaith partnerships. But those are some of the examples of what we do in community with congregations and other houses of worship. But what we're going to talk about today is the third leg of the stool. And again, you know, you can take individual action to live more sustainably, you work with community to live more sustainably, but the third leg of the stool is systemic change. And the way I like to put that in context is that, you know, no matter what I do in my personal life, and nobody is saying that that's not important. In fact, you know, Margaret Mead says there's nothing more important than what individual can do to save the world, because that's indeed the only thing that ever has. We're not discarding what individuals and communities can do, but the truth of our political situation right now is that a single vote in Congress or the state legislature or even your city council can wipe out 1,000 acts of faithful caring. For example, if we're looking at mileage for cars in industry, you know, you can choose to drive your car less all you want, but if Congress passes a law that doesn't increase gas mileage, and we all are getting an average of 8 miles per gallon in our automobiles, then, you know, thousands and thousands of us can choose to drive less, but we've lost that opportunity to have a broader impact by raising the mileage standards to a level that is approximate to Europe and other countries that have already taken that step. So that's just a little grounding about why we feel so strongly that we as people of faith have a right and a responsibility to speak up on behalf of God's creation. We have these values that we care so much about in caring for the earth. And as we, in our own lives and our community of faith, take actions to implement those values, we can't forget about the big picture. We have to make sure that we have, the right and responsibility, and we exercise that to take action at the systemic level. So that's just a little bit of background and context for why Earth Ministry is involved in environmental advocacy work. And then I'm going to turn it over to Jessie to do her usual.
Why do people of faith care about the environment? Yes, sorry. We've spent a week here in deep thought and reflection. And we have sat with some of the finest thinkers, scientists, theologians of our generation. I've been deeply impressed. Reflecting on the important values. But being a lawyer, I'd like to bring it down to just a few main points. You've all heard me say this before, and so what? We're going to do it again, and my goal in telling this to you over and over again, and asking you over and over again, is I want you to be able to answer this question if you're woken up in the middle of the night in your sleep. So, not that you will be, but I want you prepared because this is an important question when we're talking about political advocacy on behalf of faith. Why do people of faith care about the environment? Answers. What are the answers?
God made it.
Okay. Let's start with God made it. Okay. We'll get to stewardship next. All right. First, God made creation. We believe this. I have the interesting experience of going to speak in a few weeks with Seventh-day Adventists who actually believe that God made creation in 7 days. But the fact is, it doesn't matter whether God made creation over billions and billions of years in geologic and evolutionary time or in 7 days. What matters is what we do with the creation we have now. How it's going to end, not how it began. And so, we as people of faith believe in one form or another. I have a Roman Catholic background, so I forget the word, but we're theistic evolutionists, apparently, which is what I believe, that God created the world, but in a profound and complex form far beyond my ability to understand. But all of us believe in the central value of creation and that it is good. And it is, secondly, it is a good creation, and secondly, that it was given to us, as this gentleman said, to steward. This is a basic Christian principle in any faith. And I want to add, everything I'm saying now, I am talking about Christianity, but it also applies to the Jewish tradition and to the Muslim tradition. It applies beyond that, but it gets a little bit too complicated to talk about in a class like this to go into Hinduism and Buddhism and so forth. But the fact is that when we're talking about the Abrahamic traditions, we all believe in Creator God. And we believe that God gave us stewardship of the earth. Now, to me, I consider this tenancy. This is the word I use. You've heard me use it before. Tenancy, we're given this gift for a very short time indeed. We are fellow passengers to the grave, and we must, at our death, return it to our children and to the children of the world in a form that is in the condition that God gave it to us. We are not doing a very good job. But, Barak?
I like mentioning to people that the very first directive in the Bible is to fear and protect the garden.
This is our Talmudic scholar here. The very first directive of God in the Old Testament is to serve. Say again?
To serve the avodah v'shamra, to serve and to protect.
To serve and protect the garden. So this gives us an obligation under our faith to preserve the environment. What other reason? What other reasons do people of faith care about the environment, care about creation?
So yes. They all have equal access to the mountain.
Absolutely. This is a central teaching, certainly of Christianity, but also of Judaism and Islam, that we have an obligation to care for the poorest and most vulnerable among us. As I understand from the Bible studies class every morning, that the teacher is talking very much about this concept as it applies to poverty and people who are really denied the basics. I appreciated the opportunity to eat rice at lunch in understanding of those who, that's their lunch every day. And from a standpoint of the environment, the most endangered, people, humans, are the poorest in the world. Those who live in sub-Saharan Africa will experience drought and despair unlike anything that we even can imagine. True also in Central Asia, where the largest water bodies the glaciers that hold the towers of water that flow into the Indus River and the Ganges and so forth, those people will suffer in terms of climate change. So when we speak about justice, which is a core teaching of our traditions, that is something that causes us to care about the environment. So, yes.
I think we also have been directed to care for the other species.
Absolutely. And thank you, Lois, because each of these, creation itself, includes the whole web of life. Stewardship includes all that we have been given, not just our own children, but the children of all the earth. And justice calls the least of us is also the salmon and the cubs and the polar bears. There are many other reasons why people of faith care for creation. And this is, I'm going through this not as a theological exercise, but because when we walk into the state legislator's office in Olympia next February, next March, I want all of you to be able to articulate these simple principles that you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and burst out. I want you to be able to tell your state senator or representative. So, yes.
I see, you know, we talked about it earlier, but I see compassion as being a separate category. Because there's a whole level in the Bible of how we are to have compassion for creatures, for example, for not to take the mother bird with her fledgling.
So compassion is a principle of faith, although it may be more of a principle of Buddhist faith, but it's, if you were lobbying, you might do that more effectively as a Buddhist. But it's certainly true that those are principles of faith. Mary Frances.
I just wanted to make this point that most of what we're, everything we're talking about here today applies in any state.
So yes, this is not just the state of Washington.
And you'll have to forgive us if we speak about Olympia or about our senators and representatives. It's just the way the material was developed. But the ideas, of course, obviously transport to all the wonderful states that you all live in.
Yes.
I would like to make the point, the origin of the word stewardship comes mm-hmm. from sty warden. You are the keeper of the pigs.
I like that. I like that, the one who is to care for them and make sure that they continue on successfully. Thank you. Now we're going to take a brief break from the why do people of faith care about creation. I'm going to step aside into a more political piece. We're going to continue to answer questions. What are the three branches of government? Because remember, this class is about advocacy.
Didn't we miss a dot
here? Did I miss a dot?
Well, we have three. Spiritualities.
Oh, yeah, We also talk about the fact that that basically our spirituality comes from nature. I don't know how that would play in the House of Representatives, but all of our greatest values and our greatest connection to God comes through nature. So in preserving nature, we also preserve our own psyche. And that's another reason why people of faith care about creation and compassion. And there are many other reasons, and I'm going to leave them to all of you to articulate, because you know what they are. But my goal in going through this exercise is to make sure that when push comes to shove, you can say it in that phone call, in that email, on that lobby day. Now, speaking of the phone call and the email and the lobby day, let's talk about government. What are the three branches of government? Yes.
Executive, legislative, and legal.
Judicial. Very good. Okay, I'm going to just draw this. So there's the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. Okay, you have these questions here. What are the three levels of government? There's like 100 levels of government, but there's three basic ones. So what are they?
National, state, local.
National, state, and local. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, national, state, and local. This is basic, but we're going to take it to the mat in a few minutes. Okay, what's the title of, not the name, but the title of the national executive?
President.
President, right. The state executive is the governor, and the local executive is the mayor. Typically, we don't lobby here. We do sometimes, But most of the work that we're going to be asking you to do comes in this area. In the federal system, we don't vote for judges. We do sometimes locally and in the state, but we don't certainly don't lobby the judges. That's not what we do. So the vast majority of our work in advocacy at Earth Ministry and what we're going to be asking you to do is with the national legislative, the state legislative, and the local legislative. Okay, what's the national legislature called?
Congress,
exactly. The Senate and the House of Representatives. The state?
Legislature.
The state legislature. The city?
Council.
City council. Where I grew up, we had a board of aldermen. But those are the legislative branches. These are the ones that make the laws. This group interprets the laws. This group administers the laws. But when we do advocacy on behalf of God's creation, we go right here. Okay, the bonus question, what does this whole catastrophe answer to? The people? By what method? Through the vote? What establishes the vote? The Constitution. Okay, so everything answers to the Constitution.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, right. Well, that's a question, isn't it? But I just want you to know, exactly as you said, the Constitution calls for the vote. The Constitution says that we make the laws. That we, the people, go, we elect the legislators, and they care what we say. And if there's nothing else you get out of my talk, get that our legislators really do care because we vote for them. We elect them. I worked for Washington State Catholic Conference for a while, lobbying Sister Sharon Parks for schools. Sister Sharon Parks, who is the director of that and has done it for 30 years and is a wonderful woman, although I do not always agree with her politics, says that basically 8 contacts from a constituents on any issue raises it to the legislator's point where they're very interested in how they should vote.
Is that federal or state?
This is state of Washington. We're talking about the state of Washington. So that means, and we're not saying that would sway the legislator in one direction or the other, but they would consider 8 contacts, this is emails, phone calls, personal contacts, would make a huge difference to a legislator. So they really do care because through the Constitution, we are their boss. And that's an important thing to always remember. How do we have the time?
I'll move on to the how.
Okay.
The exciting part.
Okay. Now, we've covered why people of faith care about creation. And we're going to talk about what in particular are we going to ask for. And this is important because I think the thing that stops most people from going to Olympia or participating in the democratic process is they don't really know what to say. It's easy to believe, oh, this is too complicated. The policies are too confusing. They're going to ask me detailed questions about climate legislation that I can't answer, et cetera, et cetera. This is not the case. At Earth Ministry, we have committed to a group in, how many of you are from Washington State? I guess I should ask how many of you are not from Washington State? Okay, a handful. But I will say this applies to every state in the union. I'm going to talk a little bit about Washington, but Leanne later will talk about both the national process and local jurisdictions. But this does apply in other states. In our state, the environmental community has made a brilliant decision. And that is, and this is not the faith community, but the environmental community, people we trust, Audubon, Climate Solutions, the Sierra Club, People for Puget Sound, organizations that really do the hard day-to-day work and policy analysis and so forth in their field. And the environmental organizations have come together and formed a coalition. They did this 7 or 8 years ago. And every year, the environmental community supports 4 pieces of legislation in our state that are called environmental priorities. Leanne, because of her good, solid, long experience with the environmental community, got Earth Ministry a place at the table at the priorities negotiation, and we've been there for a while. Leanne also negotiated and encouraged the Lutheran Public Policy Office to now be a member of the Priorities for a Healthy Washington. And every year, the executive directors of these organizations come together and they do the most amazing horse trading you will ever see. And they fight for their bills. So this year, I, as a member of the Toxics Coalition, may not get my bill through. But you, for People for Puget Sound, might get your bill through next year. But we will all support my bill or your bill this year. We'll support the four this year, and next year we'll support the next four. So we negotiate our way through this year by year, but what this does is we all come together to support this. Now, the great thing is, because we're part of that process, and because we have this coalition in Washington State, we know what we support. We can support other things, certainly. It's not just these four, but it makes it a much easier equation. And so, for instance, last year, we supported two climate change bills, a cap and trade bill and a land use bill. And we supported, the priorities was included in a local foods agriculture bill and an urban or forestry bill, an urban and community forestry bill. All four excellent. We got them all passed because the environmental community participated, and this is what we're asking for. But just one second. But so did the faith community. The faith community turned out for these bills. And Leanne will talk a little bit more about Faith Lobby Day, about the various pieces of advocacy that all of you did. But the faith community, remember those values? They bring those to the legislature with the priorities. Now Leanne's going to talk a little bit about the other national and local advocacy at these levels.
Was there a question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wondered if, I know that in Washington we have a lengthy legislative session followed by a short. Is it for regardless of the length of the session?
Yes, it is. But that's a very good question. That's a really sophisticated question. These four bills that we pick are not picked because they're like the best causes, although they certainly may be. But the vetting process involves deciding the campaign plans of each bill. Like many are nominated and four are chosen. So that horse trading process, it involves every other year is a budget year in our state, and so those are the years that we want to push through bills that involve financing. Whereas in the off year, we want to, when it's a short session and there's no money involved, we want to pursue bills that set a policy direction that we can then fund later.
Thanks.
Now, just by the by, we have an enormous budget shortfall in the state this year, because so does the entire United States. And so we are going to be fighting not to lose ground in terms of our priorities and the environment. And I don't know what our priorities are going to be for the fall yet. And we won't probably even pick them until November because it's such an interesting year. But those decisions, budget year, not budget year, who's got the best program, et cetera, who is going to win? You know, who has the champions in the Senate to actually get this passed, are all questions that are considered during that horse trading process.
So just one more segue on the state level. One of the big successes of the Priorities for a Healthy Washington process is the fact that it focuses the entire community on four key bills. And when we get to the tips at the end, you'll see that we're encouraging you to pick one or two issues to talk about in any particular session with your legislative official. It's true for coalitions as well. And so imagine that 22 different organizations came in with 22 bills and everybody's trying to figure out what's what. So whether you're from Washington State or anywhere else in the country, just thinking strategically and focusing resources and knowledge on a few key issues can oftentimes have a much higher success rate than having a shotgun approach. And what Jesse did mention is we've had 100% success rate for the last 2 years.
Since I started.
It is true. It's got off to,
Even getting one bill passed is obviously a huge success, especially in some state legislatures, but for the last 2 years, we've managed to pass all four of our bills. And it's because the coalition is being strategic and strong and engaging people such as yourselves. And again, no matter where you live, knowing that there are organizations who have good policies and plans for passing proactive legislation, you don't have to be an expert on it. All you have to do is speak from the heart. And like I said, we'll get to that when we get to the actual tips section at the end, but I just wanted to reiterate that, that people just like you, and as I look around, I actually see people who are you, played a big part in passing these bills in Washington State. So thank you, and know that each of you can also make that difference in your state, wherever you live. So just briefly, because I know we want to keep moving, I wanted to just touch on the national and the local level of advocacy a little bit, so you get an idea that this isn't just work done at the state level. At the national level, obviously, we have Congress, and there are many bills that Congress is looking at that obviously affect us wherever we live. They affect creation all over in the country and around the world. And one of the biggest issues is climate change. And so, just to give you one quick example, we actually took a whole bunch of people of faith back to Washington, D.C. in May for the National Interfaith Power and Light Lobby Day and National Convention, where people for faith, for all different faiths, the Abrahamic traditions, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, but also there were a few Jews, and Buddhists and Hindus. 28 states, religious leaders came together in Washington, D.C. and lobbied Congress about the Lieberman-Warner climate change bill. And even though the bill ultimately was defeated, having that different voice in Congress made a big difference in getting the votes that were garnered, which was much more than when the bill had been addressed 2 years previously. So obviously, you know, with any kind of advocacy work, legislation is an iterative process. Just because something doesn't pass this year doesn't mean that it's not going to have a better chance next year and the year after that. And we can all, you know, understand that some issues are so pressing, like climate change, we want to see action now, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. But we have to lay the groundwork, and so don't get discouraged. If you work for something and call your elected official and say, I want you to vote this way, and either they do or don't, or the bill passes or don't be discouraged. That's, you know, passing laws is like making sausage. A lot of times you don't need to know what goes in it, you just, you know, hope for a good end product. And it might take a lot of time to get there, and just know that at any level of government, you can have an impact. Going all the way to the local level, Jesse mentioned that we're going to be meeting with a bunch of people in the faith community in Walla Walla in a few weeks, including the Seventh-day Adventist and Methodist and UCC congregations. And we're working with them to influence their local level of government. They're very interested in starting a sustainable Walla Walla community, including a very active voice in the faith community that will reach out to the city council to get them to start a task force on sustainability actually within the city and have key people from the city government involved in working on livability and sustainability issues in the Walla Walla Valley. And so that, for them, they choose to focus much more on this local branch of government down here and get their community people weighed in with the county council and the city council and people at that level. So any level of government, advocacy isn't just calling your legislature. It's meeting with people, it's having coffee, it's getting to know them, and building relationships.
Continuing the conversation, I have to really thank you all for coming at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a gorgeous Thursday. So the question is, first of all, to review, why do people of faith care about creation? We've answered that question and we'll continue to answer it. What are we going to support? How do we pick from these massive data that we have? How do we pick? And we have found some ways that we're describing to you, some ways to narrow down the question so that we know what we're going to ask for when we go to the legislature. Now the question is, how do we do it? And I have to say, mixed experience. I can't say fortunate or unfortunate, but the delightful experience of having a 18-year-old son at home. And the experience of ordering pizza is something that I personally would not choose to engage in, but I must do it because I have all these massive amounts of teenage boys in my house all the time. So what I've realized, do you want to take a phone and pass around? What I've realized is, if you can order pizza, you can advocate for God's creation. It's a very similar process. The fundamental steps are exactly the same. Okay, nobody believes me, I can tell you. You need the phone number. Thank you. Of the pizza company. You need to know the pizza company's phone number, right? That's the first thing you have to do. It's not that hard. Here is the phone number for the Washington State Legislative Hotline. For those of you here in Washington State, we're in a place out of cell phone range, so nobody has their cell phones. But if you have your cell phones, somebody have a cell phone with them? Plug this number in. This is the number of your legislator. You don't need to know the name of your legislator any more than you need to know the name of the man that puts the pepperoni on your pizza. You have to know your address. You have to know that when you're ordering pizza. I can carry this analogy on a long way, believe me. I have carried it to its nth degree. Okay, but it works, it really works. Okay, this is the number for everyone living in the state of Washington. For those of you outside Washington, I bet California and other states have legislative hotlines. This is the most convenient thing in the world. Put it on your refrigerator. You dial this number, the operator picks up. It's a nice lady or man in Olympia who says, how can I help you? You say, my name is Sarah Kane. My name is Sarah Kane. I am a member of Wesley United Methodist Church. My faith calls me to care for creation, and I believe that climate change is an important moral issue. Please ask, give my address, please ask my elected officials to say that I care about climate change. You don't even have to say the name of the bill. If we have one, that's great. You can plug it in. If we have a particular issue, this last year we passed the Children's Safe Products Act. We called it the Rubber Ducky Bill because it was about children getting poisoned by eating rubber duckies with lead paint in them. You can say, I support the Rubber Ducky Bill. You can say, I support children's. You just basically have to say pepperoni. You don't have to give the ingredients of the pepperoni, the policy, things of where the pepperoni comes from, etc. You give very limited information. And then the nice lady at the operator will, because you give your address, she knows who your elected representatives are, or he knows. And you can throw in a bonus, which is like getting extra cheese, or, whatever. Tell the governor, too. And so she'll just do that, And the reason, remember back to our values, that exercise I took you through, I care about creation. I believe that that we are called to be stewards of God's creation. We believe in justice for the poorest. We believe that our faith calls us to protect children's health or whatever. It's great to bring in a value, which you actually don't have to do when you're ordering pizza. It falls down there. But it's really important that you simply show up, that you make the phone call to this number. You say generally what you want and your address. The operator will say, would you like a response? You maybe can give your email. You can give your home address. They can send you a written home address if you want. So they'll ask. Sometimes your legislator will email you in response. You personally, Sarah Kay, will get a letter from, who's your, you don't have to know. See, that, pardon me? See, you don't have to know, though. And the thing is, so you get your voice heard. And remember what I was telling you before. 8 of these, and there's 5 times that in the room, 8 of these people in the room, 8 of these calls will get your legislator's opinion, get them to know your opinion. And you can take this to your congregation. So when I say it's as easy as ordering pizza, it really is. That's it. Yes?
Is there a difference in the effectiveness between a phone call and an email?
That's kind of like, I appreciate that. And Leanne's going to talk right now about some other ways to approach your representatives. This is the simplest way. I am still the generation that values phone calls over emails, but emails are fine. If you need to email, we'll tell you how to do it in a minute. The thing is, though, the real answer to that question is, when people say, should I exercise in the morning or should I exercise in the evening? The answer by the health people is always, exercise when you're going to do it. Yeah. And that's my answer. Use the method that will cause you to do it. This is easy, the phone call is easy, the email is easy. Do the one you're going to do. Yes?
Does Earth Ministry, do you have the capability to email us when there's a specific issue that should be, rather than a general statement, I think if you're to a specific bill, you know, like when it's coming to the floor, yeah. Are you able to do that?
Thank you very much. Thank you, that's a very good question. We are, yes, I hope that by this legislative session, we will have that. Not only that, but that we can target what legislators are particular leaders in what area or what votes we need to influence so that we can email people in that district and say, make this phone call. We are building our database capacities to send out legislative alerts. I recommend also, by the way, the Lutheran Public Policy Office sign up for their announcements because they have that already. And they are the Lutheran Public Policy, there are strong advocates and colleagues in this.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point, because we already have a listserv that we send out legislative information and action alerts to for big votes, when things are coming to the floor, when there's going to be a big up or down vote. But if we need a particular committee, for example, say I'm from Yakima, because we like to pick on Sarah Kate, if I'm from Yakima and my elected official sits on a key committee that is pivotal to whether that bill even gets out of committee to get to the floor, then sending, you know, emails to the entire state of Washington isn't as effective as looking in our database, targeting people in Yakima, and sending a database email alert just to them. So that's what Jesse's talking about. But for big picture stuff, yes, we already are engaging people. We've had great response in sending out action alerts and emails to Earth Ministries list. And it's not just members, it's members and friends. You can sign up to be on our email list today. And I believe that Michaela could probably pull out the sign-up sheet and send that around if we wanted her to. But Jesse's right. It is most important to take action, however you choose to do it. There are actually some elected officials that prefer a phone call over an email because there's so many web and email alerts nowadays. It's easier to click at this point and send an email than it is to pick up the phone and make a call. But if email's what works for you, do that. If phone calls are what works for you, do that. But if you really want to go to the nth level, there are a couple other ways to get involved. The most exciting way, which I really encourage you to think about in Washington or wherever you live, is to participate in a lobby day. And now Earth Ministry participated in four different lobby days this last year, and we helped organize two of them. There was an environmental lobby day, where we talked about these four priorities for healthy Washington and brought people of faith and congregations down to participate in that. There was a faith advocacy day where everybody in the community was invited to come, and it was on social and environmental justice issues, so you could lobby for hunger and homelessness and poverty issues along with environmental issues. Jesse brought some folks down for Catholic lobby day. And then we also participated in an individual issue lobby day on toxic toys. Now, what does it mean to be part of a lobby day? You right now have enough knowledge and experience to come with us to Olympia or Helena or Sacramento or wherever your state capital is. The idea is that you come in a group. There's always a training in the morning. You're never just dropped off at the front steps and said, have a nice day, tell us how it goes. We have a full briefing where you get people who do, you know, 45 minutes or so on each of the bills that people are being asked to support. Jesse and I have actually made the presentation at both Environmental Lobby Day and Faith Lobby Days about the environmental bills. So if you live in Washington State, you'll be seeing us again, talking much more in depth about the particular bills. But again, you're instructed to just be yourself. I'm not a climate scientist. You know, I'm not a toxic toy, what are those, chemists? I'm not Brian Knobs. I have more hair than he does. So, you know, you don't have to be an expert, but you have to know a couple key things. What are the key things this bill will do? We'll tell you that. And then, why do you personally support it? We go back to the values, or maybe you have a personal story. You know, two years ago, when we were passing a much more broad safe chemical act, I went lobbying with a woman who was a breast cancer survivor. No history of it in her family. She thinks it had to do with exposure. And she told the most compelling story to our legislator about her battle with breast cancer and why passing this bill was so important to her. And it can be the same thing about, you know, somebody can speak equally passionately about trees, the evergreen forest bill that we just passed. You know, how many of us here look around and see this beautiful forest of the Glacier Peak National Wilderness? And, you know, Barack and his people just fought to win the Wild Sky Wilderness designation. You know, these are things that speak to our souls, and we can talk about that and tell our stories in these meetings. And so it's much less about knowing the individual policies and much more about being yourself, speaking from the heart, identifying yourself as a person of faith. That's the other thing. As Jesse mentioned, you know, I spent 15 years working in the environmental community in Washington State, and I've done a lot of lobbying, but mostly wearing an environmental hat. When I came to work for Earth Ministry and had the opportunity to start speaking up as a person of faith, even though I could have done it all along, but I didn't have that knowledge. I was just like you thinking, well, I can't go in and say I'm a Christian and I support this. Yes, you can. And I did. And the very first day that I went in as Earth Ministry and started talking as a person of faith, it was like a whole different world. I went into Republican offices, I went into Democrat offices, and they'd be like, really? You're a Christian and you care about the environment? Tell me more. Whereas, you know, and I'd be handing out sheets, and I'd actually see them looking at it rather than just putting it in the recycle bin or, more likely, the garbage as I walked out. They really want to hear from us. They really care because, for, you know, still, even though, you know, the society's gotten more secular, people still look to the religious community as a bellwether for what's actually happening in their district. And we are that moral voice. And so if we are the ones who coming in and speaking up and saying we care about creation, then they know for every one of us there must be a lot more people sitting in the pews back home that agree with us. So that's why it's really important to try to come to a lobby day. It's actually really fun. I really enjoy bringing people in who have never lobbied before in their lives. We give you training, we shore you up, we go with you. You always have somebody with you, you never go in alone. And it's just really empowering to talk to folks afterwards who have done it for the first time and they're like, I did it, it's great. You know, they listened to me, who knew? And it's just a really, really empowering thing to do, to get up and speak and to know that you're being heard and listened to. You can also do this closer to home. You don't have to travel to the state legislature, especially for when it's off session between your legislative sessions. Every state usually has some bit of downtime. You can meet with them in your home district. You can bring people from your church to meet with your state senator or representative or your city council person, depending on what level you're on, and meet with them for coffee, meet with them in their office. We actually wanted to highlight the success story of some folks from Agnes Day at Gig Harbor. Brian Nas, who is, again, one of the teachers here, worked with his congregation to bring their pastor, Reverend Cheryl Biggins, and their other pastor, Dan Wilson, to a meeting with Representative Senator Kilmer, mm-hmm. who is the senator from that Gig Harbor area. And they also brought in a director of a camp, a UCC minister from a camp, and they met back in Gig Harbor and just talked about climate change and creation care. Right there, and it was very casual, you know, it's off session, so there's no time pressures. They had a long meeting, which, you know, for elected officials is probably 45 minutes. It's considered a really long time. And they had a very successful meeting stating their environmental concerns from a faith perspective and really felt like they had made a difference in how he was going to vote moving forward. So you can bring people from your own congregation to meet right in your own backyard, and taking a day off and getting down to Olympia or Sacramento is too much of a hardship. So the last thing I just wanted to mention about that is you can also use email. We mentioned that as another option. On your handout, you can see the website for the Washington State Legislature. Almost every state has a website, so you can Google yours as well. When you go onto most state websites, you can actually type in your home address and get all the information about your district. So if you just simply know your address, you can type it in. They'll give you, at least in Washington, they'll give you a map, so you see the outline of your district. It'll give you all three of your elected officials, your senator and your representatives. We'll give their names, you can links to their home pages so you can read more about them, and most importantly, their contact information. So again, you can use the hotline or you can use email, but simply making your voice heard by either one of those two methods, by coming to lobby day, by meeting closer to home, or even sending an old-fashioned letter, you know, that still works too. Mm-hmm. Kathy, do you have a question?
Mm-hmm. Comment and a question. One thing that I found is helpful is in my toolbar on my browser, I have all the, you know, a link to the site of all the senators and representatives, so mm-hmm. that when I want to send something, I can just click without having to bother to go to the website.
Great.
And then I also wondered, though, for email, does it matter? Do they pay more attention to it if it's actually personally composed rather than just one of those form ones?
They do, but again, you know, I am a big fan of just get me exercising. If you have time and the interest and the ability to craft your own email or letter or phone call, by all means do that. It is the more personal you make it and the more personal heart and story you put in it, the more effective it's going to be. But again, if you say, oh, well, I'm really busy, I'll do that tomorrow, versus clicking right now, click right now. I mean, I click right now when I know that I'm not going to get back to something. I know that it's better to personalize it, but I would much rather click the send myself and get it done than not do it. But if you're really passionate about something, do take the time to make it more personal, because that's what's really going to get their attention. And that's actually a great segue. If you flip to your back page, we have 7 tips for communicating with your elected officials. And the first one is really key. As I said before, you know, identifying yourself as a person of faith gives you a standing. Not that as a citizen you don't have a standing anyway, but like I said, a lot of elected officials look to the faith community as a bellwether for what the pulse is back in their home community. And so by saying, I'm a member of Agnes Day Church, or I'm a member of Western United Methodist, or I'm a Christian, or, you know, I'm a person of faith, or you can even say you're a member of Earth Ministry. We'll take that too. It's just important to say where you're coming from so they can understand that even though one person's calling them, it's entirely likely that there's a lot more people just like you that call. Yeah. And especially in a meeting or in a letter or an email, if there's anything your elected official has done recently that you like, that you would support, that pertains directly to creation care or some issue you're bringing up, try to thank them for it. I mean, it's common courtesy, but also every time you give somebody a little bit of kudos, they're a little bit more willing to listen to you when you ask them to do something else. Again, it's a good idea to pick maybe one or at the most 2 issues to focus on at a given time. There's nothing that is going to make people toss your letter aside or your email aside faster than if you try to run through a whole laundry list of issues. And it's okay if you have a long list of issues. Send a different email. Make another phone call. In each individual contact, try to be focused so they can understand exactly what it is you're talking about, what you want them to do, and what kind of response you want from them. So just try to keep it focused. And that's a good segue to 4. Be clear about what you're asking them to do. When, you know, if it's between sessions and there's no bill number, you know, Jesse's completely right. It's perfectly great to call up your elected official because you know that there's some climate stuff going on in your state, or that, you know, you care about forests or you care about wilderness areas. It's perfectly fine to call up and say, I just want you to know that whenever, you know, something like that comes down the line, I'm in favor of it and I want you to support it. That's great.
Yeah.
But when there is a specific bill out there, and again, you can find this information out through Earth Ministry or many other organizations that are working in the state legislature or any of the other levels of government, if you know a bill name, a bill number, or anything like that, which we can help provide to you, say, I want you to vote yes on HB 2715, the
Clean Air Act, whatever. You know, where I want you to vote no on this bad amendment that's coming out of this committee because I, as a person of faith, don't like toxics in my toys. So the more specific you can be and ask them to vote yes or no or support, be supportive or not supportive is very key. Number five, speak from the heart. Again, the personal story is the one that's going to catch the attention. It's important to do that clicking, but if you have even a minute to personalize the top of an action alert with a personal story saying, I'm asking you as a person of faith to support this bill because my grandmother was, help me out. My grandmother was a homesteader here, and she really wants to make sure that, you know, Holden Village is protected for all time and the mine doesn't reopen. You know, just tell a personal story right off the bat, when you're in a meeting, when you're on the phone, when you're writing a letter, when you're sending an email. By speaking from the heart, you not only catch their attention, because you know what, these are people too. They get bored, just like you and me, and when they are reading 1,000 letters, they're looking for something different than the one before it. But especially the letters that speak from the heart get noticed. Don't get sidetracked by rhetoric. Even if you feel very passionately about something, you don't want to go into hyperbole. You don't want to be offensive. You don't want to overstate your case so much that they dismiss you as a crackpot. So, you know, be clear, be passionate, speak from the heart, but just remember that, you know, they are business people, and they're in the business of government, and in order to be respected, you just have to use a language that they can respond to. So even as you're being personal, try not to spin too far out in the rhetoric. And then last, remember that your elected officials work for you. So whether you're nervous or concerned, you're afraid that you might not know enough about the issue, I can't tell you how many times I've met with elected officials about environmental issues, and I've known more about it than they have. They're busy people. You know, they have a million issues they're looking at. Homelessness, hunger, you know, those are just social issues. They've got lighting bills, they've got tax credits, they've got a thousand things, you know, transportation bills. There's no guarantee they even know anything about the issue you're talking about. So you could be the expert in that room.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't even matter whether they know more than you or not, because ultimately, you're a constituent. They work for you. That's what government's all about. So, can we take some questions? Ask any, yes, ma'am?
Something that I'm really interested in, and I think would be effective, but I'm not sure how exactly to go about it, is having children do lobbying.
Yes,
that's
and
very effective.
I've said that to a few people, and I don't know if they were just the wrong people or what, but some people were really scared by it. I mean, just like, I'm sure there's a right way and a wrong way of doing it, but like, what would you, because just to have people that are their children's age, you know, that I think that would be really effective and more touching from the heart.
Thank you. That's a wonderful, wonderful point. Her question is children, how to bring children into this process. So let me just talk about sort of the ages of children. The rubber ducky bill, the Children's Safe Product Act, getting lead, phthalates, and cadmium out of children's toys, which you would think this is a no-brainer since they've done that in Europe for, you know, forever. The whole strategy by the Toxics Coalition was to have parents bring their children. Now, of course, this is toys, right? But it was a wonderful lobbying strategy. And so there's all these toddlers and babies toddling around. But you know what? Who's this for? I mean, what a visual aid. The parent is coming in saying, this is my baby, and I don't want my baby stuffing lead into her mouth. So, I mean, that actually whole legislative strategy was around bringing children. Then, up to teenagers, and I'll talk about the middle school kids in a minute, Brian Nass, our hero from Iowa State, brings every year on Faith Lobby Day a busload of kids from his youth group who are basically high school students. Isn't this correct? Is this right?
And not a busload.
Okay,
a
man. All right.
I think there were 17 last year. 17
but there's schools. Quite a few. Yeah, there's quite a few. And others do it too. But what a wonderful object lesson for those teenagers. And they're, you know, 12 to 18. They're not, you know, college students. That they are actually going to go in and say a few words. And the important thing I want to say about lobbying is, any of this, you don't have to be an expert. You have to know why you care. So I think bringing kids along to any lobby day, you know, obviously toddlers are great for toxic toys, but older kids, there's no problem. And I say, if you want to, bring them. They're welcome.
Matt?
Not long ago, the paradigm was go forth and multiply and have dominion over. I like to think that changed from Earth Day on, but not for everybody. So what do you do if you're talking to someone who hasn't made that paradigm shift yet?
Well, mostly we go back to the values. That's why we keep talking about values all the time, because wherever people are on the spectrum of environmentalism, you'd be hard-pressed to find people who disagree with the values of stewardship, justice, spirituality, and tenancy. And it's about speaking from a place that we can all agree on. I mean, we've met with people who are, you know, if you look at their record, they're very anti-environmental in their voting. And by coming at them not saying, you know, this is an environmental priority, we want you to support this, it's, well, you have grandchildren. What kind of future do you want for them? You know, climate change, I keep using that as a major example, but that's been a big issue. And there's a lot of climate doubters in the legislature, including from Washington State. And we would go in and we would say, well, what kind of future do you want for your grandchildren? And if we're the least little bit unsure of what climate change may do, wouldn't we rather be safe than sorry? And we talk about stewardship versus dominion, you know. Actually, there's a lot of study, and I'm sure that people who know the Old Testament better than I do can talk about the different translations, that actually dominion was a mistranslation of the word stewardship in the first place. So the entire argument has been hinged on a different interpretation of what the original intent was. And so there's just ways to address the issue that are outside the bounds of environmentalism and focusing on the values that we share.
And I think that's a wonderful question, and I appreciate it very much. Because recently, Barack and I and a rabbi and an imam from a Muslim community spoke at the Wilderness Conference, and we talked about the values of our faith traditions, Islamic, Jewish, and Christian, and how it teaches us to care for creation. And after we had finished, we kind of all looked at each other and said, wow, you know, it's really there. This isn't something that we've made up in the last couple of years because of the environmental crisis. And the rabbi said, it's always been there, but we have forgotten. And that's the truth. And so when you come up with someone who thinks that we get to have dominion over the earth, you can revisit, as Leanne said, the values that we were raised with, all of us.
Go forth to care rather than go forth to conquer.
Exactly.
Well, I just wanted to add to what you said, Jesse, that one of my most positive experiences ever lobbying was with a busload of Jewish kids who were 13 years old from a summer camp, and the whole day was spent, going to legislative offices, doing an environmental service, and doing guerrilla theater at the steps of City Hall. And not only did the legislators really listen, it was the aides in this case, you could tell, tell tears were coming to their eyes. But also the media really took note more of the kids being involved. And so it's kind of like a double, bonus. But one other question I wanted to ask Leon, what do you think about, I've heard from people that aides are sometimes even more important to talk to than the legislators themselves, and that they actually write policy.
It is true, and actually a lot of times when you try to set up meetings with your elected official, you may end up meeting with a legislative aide or a legislative director or someone else on their staff. And don't take that as an insult. Brock's right, a lot of times the aides are the ones who actually are the knowledgeable ones about a particular issue, and they brief the elected official on the details of it. So I would say either is effective. It's always great to be able to talk face-to-face with your elected official, so keep trying to get that direct meeting, but definitely take a meeting with one of their staff people. Okay, time for one last question.
Oh, I just have a question. If you're going to, just happen to be in Washington, D.C., can you go drop in on your legislators and, or do you have to have an advance, kind of 2 weeks?
It's better to try to make an appointment, but always drop by. Again, it's like, you know, it's the same sort of thing. Are you going to exercise in the morning or evening? If you have time to plan ahead, make a phone call, send an email, they actually have a scheduling process and you could actually get time with your elected official and have one-on-one time. But if you don't have that kind of advance warning or time to set that up, stop by the office. You'll almost 100% talk to an aide, and maybe even right there in the lobby, but you'll have a chance to say something. I do know that at least in the Washington delegation, each of our elected officials, Patty Murray, Senator Cantwell, and at least my representative, Jim McDermott in Seattle, once a week they have a coffee with constituencies. So you can meet your elected official face-to-face. I think, you know, Patty Murray's is every Thursday at 8 o'clock in the morning. And you get to meet the senator and shake her hand and answer questions in a group of people. So if you call the office or look on the website, you can actually find out when those public meetings are for constituencies and definitely attend that. But if you want some one-on-one time, try to call ahead. But at the very least, stop by.
One last question.
Hi, oh, it's sorry. Not a question. I just wanted to say that if I hadn't come here today to this group, I would have only thought of lobby as a dirty word. And I only would have thought of identifying myself as a person of faith if I were a fundamentalist. Mm-hmm. And this has really opened for me. I am a person of faith, but when you say it, people think that you're
a wingnut.
Yeah, I don't
sorry.
And it's made me shy. It makes me hesitate to identify myself that way. And so I really thank you for this awakening for myself.
Well, thank you. Oh, what a testimonial. We're at a time in human history when the health of God's creation really is in balance, and the future of our children and grandchildren really is in the lurch. We don't know how it's going to go. We believe in the environmental faith communities, first of all, that there is time. We can do this. This can be done. But the time is now. We are called to do this. Now, we don't have a lot of time. So bringing you here today is for a good purpose and an ongoing purpose, but the rubber is meeting the road in this legislative session. As you may have noticed, outside of Holden, there is an election going on. And in that election, not only is it the President of the United States and a number of senators, but every single U.S. congressman in our state and every state is up for election because they run every 2 years. And every single one of our state representatives is up for election. So as a voter and a person of faith, we're not advocating for a party or any particular agenda. But what I ask you to do is if in the next few months, you run into a candidate from either party running for office, or you happen to have a phone number of the Washington State Legislative Hotline, call and say, this is called voter engagement. I am a voter from your district. I care. And they may be coming to you at a state fair and shaking your hand and saying who they are. You say, I am from your district. I am a Christian person of faith. Say your values. And I care about the environment. What we're saying is that as voters, from now until the election, our responsibility is to articulate our values insofar as we can in the democratic process. In closing, we can do this. We have time. And Leanne has a wonderful quote from the prophet.
Ah, the prophet Isaiah, one of my favorite exhortations. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift your voice up like a trumpet. That is our call as people of faith, to shout out and speak up our values and advocate for all creation. Thanks.
Thank you.